Running now through April 2nd, Cap Rep's production of An Iliad is a sprawling yarn based on Homer's epic poem. This Obie award-winning adaptation spins a familiar tale of gods and goddesses, undying love, and battles of the Trojan War told through an original and immediate narrator whose knowledge cuts across time to bridge the past and present together. We're joined by the whole crew this morning. We welcome actor David Barlow. David, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for being with us. Cellist Kathleen Bowman is here.
Thank
you very much. We'll talk about your role in all of this in just a moment. And the director of the production, Margaret Hall, from the Capitol Repertory Theater production of An Iliad. Welcome, Margaret.
Good morning.
Thank you very much. First of all, shout out to your dad.
Okay. Go dad. Charlie Hall?
Yeah. So your dad wrote to us and said...
Oh, he did tell me that.
And he said, I just want you to know that my daughter is doing this incredible work and you should have her on the show. And I said, well, I think you're in luck. I think we already have her booked.
Excellent. Thanks, Dad.
But I wrote back to him and I said, I want you, like every kid ought to have you as a dad to be their press agent.
I agree. My parents have always been very supportive of everything I do. So, but that was surprising when he told me he did that.
Right. Well, shout out to Dad.
Excellent. Thanks, Dad.
Very nice that Charlie's thinking of you. I think that's great. Well, let us begin with you, Margaret, and talk a little bit about how this particular production of An Iliad came to be.
Well, you know, actually, we did a tour of it a couple of years ago and absolutely fell in love with the material even before we ever did the tour and knew it had to be on the main stage. And so when we were planning the 16-17 season for Capitol Repertory Theater, we really felt like it was time to bring it the full 90-minute version to the stage and let the Capitol region really feel this story and hear what the poet has to say about humanity and how it has maybe or hasn't changed over thousands of years.
Talk a little bit about this interpretation and how it's staged.
It's really very open. The set is completely open, and the poet comes in and starts talking to you, and he's a modern day poet. He's here now today with us in this room, and relates the story of the Trojan War about Hector and Achilles and things that happened in the time, of Homer 3,000 years ago. But he brings everything current and really relatable to things that have gone on since that war throughout the thousands of years, and makes it so that an audience now who maybe doesn't know Greek history or doesn't know about that particular poem or anything can understand the information being imparted by Homer back in that day and how the things that were happening then are still happening now, and the things that we need to war-related, family-related, duty and honor-related need attention still, need thoughts and consideration, what needs to change, how we need to move forward as humans.
So, David, you are that lone poet coming mm-hmm. out. And what is that experience like?
It's been, first of all, a total honor to work with Kathleen and with Margaret and to be given this opportunity to face this kind of a challenge, which is huge, actually. I've never quite done a piece of theater like it that demands everything in terms of its physicality and its carrying a story for an hour and a half to an audience and telling something in a way that's really compelling and has to really grab people's attention in a very kind of familiar way, so that we're not just telling some old dusty yarn. We're really actually saying, hey, right now, right here, this is our lives. And it's been a real privilege.
So going back to being a high school student, I mean, this is really heavy work, or shouldn't we look at it that way? Do you think we make too much of it, that it becomes an obstacle that we shouldn't look at that way?
I would understand why it would be received that way when you first look at the opportunity to go see it or something like that. But the playwrights have done such a phenomenal job of making it relatable that basically after 30 seconds, you already know, oh, okay, this is different. This is not high school. This is not some kind of lecture. This is, it's almost like a retelling in a way, a reintroduction to that ancient war and how it relates to your life right now. And it's not, and it is dark subject matter, but it's also effervescent in places and light and fun. And then, yes, it actually does go to those dark, deep places as well.
Before we hear from Kathleen about the musical element here, Margaret, talk a little bit about, has that always been a part of the work, or how was that added in?
Yeah, it's always been a part of the work, in that since Lisa Peterson and Dennis O'Hare, the playwrights, first created it, they had, I think they used an upright bassist, and they had the idea of having music with it. And I know a lot of productions have happened since their initial, and have taken the music in different ways. And the script kind of just says music should be here, like music should be part of the piece. There's no score, it needs to be this instrument or that instrument. And when I was thinking about it and working with the artistic director at the theater, Maggie, we came to the decision that the cello, with its human quality and its range and its ability to evoke emotions, to be a part of the storytelling, not just a support in the background, was the right instrument. And when we found Kathleen, I was like, yes, yes. I felt the same way about you too, David. But it, you know, it's amazing when you walk in a room and you meet someone and you go, that's the person. And it was exactly that for both of these individuals.
So Kathleen, then, given that there's no score, then what do you play? Is that up to you?
Well, it's a great question. This is a process that we've been working through in our rehearsals, and I'd say some of it's up to me, and it's all either improvised or has been composed inside or outside of the rehearsal process. And it's definitely been a dialogue with David and with Margaret to try to find sort of the right sound or the right melody for a given part. Sometimes I'm really just creating more of a soundscape. Like, I want to enhance the emotions that we're feeling in that moment. And then sometimes I'm creating a melody for a character, for example. So Hector and Achilles, they each have their own themes that kind of come back and then are changed a little bit as the story progresses.
So if I go see Friday night's production and then go back and see it Saturday, is the music going to be the same or will it be different?
The music will actually be fairly similar, but it's not all the same, because there are a few places where I'm more or less improvising within that part. And some of that depends on the timing that David takes on a given performance evening. So there are things that we've more decided, okay, we want the music to have this effect at this point when he says the end of this sentence, for example. So I'm trying to time what I do with what David's delivering. So if he makes changes, then I make changes, and I think vice versa. So there's a really interesting dialogue that happens between David and I, even though my voice is through the cello. And I think that makes each performance unique, but there is some similarity for sure with the music.
I felt it yesterday. There was a change in several moments, and where I took more breath and more space in a moment based on my interacting with certain audience members. And then suddenly I just realized, even on stage in the moment, wow, Kathleen has got my back right here. She is playing this whole little new movement to support what's going on right now. So it's really cool.
So talk a little bit about that conversation that you don't have, that's all just, I assume, through energy and body language and maybe an occasional glance.
Yes. you said it. I mean, it's energy. And that's, I mean, hopefully what live theater is.
Right.
It's about energy, and it's about energy between us on stage, but certainly the energy between us and an audience. And you feel it. It's very palpable.
I was just going to say, that's part of why you go to see something live versus a production. We're not offering like a recorded production of this, because it's so unique what we're doing together and as we interact with the audience.
It needs the audience for it to be a full piece. Because you could, I mean, we told the story how many times in rehearsal just to ourselves, but it changes.
Right? And then enough of that.
But it changes. It needs the audience, actually, because it's not a piece of theater that has a fourth wall. We invite the audience in from the moment that it starts, and we say, be part of this with us in a more direct way than some other pieces. You know, like when you go see A Doll's House or something like that, there's that fourth wall, and you're looking into this other world. We're asking the audience really to be in this world with us, and David and Kathleen do an extraordinary job of that, and therefore interacting with the audience as the audience emotes and their energy changes with what's happening on stage. These guys just meld to that and use it. It's beautiful.
When it's all said and done, what do you hope that an audience takes away from this experience, from this artistic experience, but also from, and I guess I'll start with you, David, on this, of from the words themselves?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to a talk back with an audience, actually, for that very reason, just because...
Oh, I think you're one of the few actors I've ever heard say that.
Yeah.
Well, on the talk back.
And it might be just for this particular show. Because the material...
Talk back to me now and then shut up.
Yeah. But it's because this material really strikes a chord with me just in my own life, too. I mean, I'm... Aside from the fact that, you know, about reading books about war or watching documentaries and the way in which that affects me on a heart level. I also relate, you know, the subject to my own life. I mean, I'm not a soldier. I'm not fighting in wars, but you know, we still fight our own internal wars. We have our wars of achievement. We have our wars with our family, our friends, our communities, and like. Everywhere else, something has to give, something has to transform, something has to change, because you know, there's a lot of beauty in the world, and there's a lot of brokenness in the world, and it reflects in all of our lives. It certainly reflects in mine, and so this is an opportunity to speak honestly to that, not from any kind of a soapbox, but just from sharing from telling my story in a way, which is our story, all of
right.
our story.
Mm-hmm. What is it like, how do I want to ask this question? I want to be as snarky as possible. that idea of being the only, I mean, obviously you're on the stage with Kathleen and she with the instrument are speaking own separate language, but mm-hmm. is it cool for you as an actor just to be like the one guy on stage?
That's a good question. I initially I would say no. Like the idea, I've done a one-man show before, and you know, it was a powerful, positive experience. But I wasn't, you know, begging for my next shot to be like the guy. You know,
yeah.
Like, ooh, watch me do my stuff.
Right.
I think that actually is the ultimate trap with this piece. If you come at this piece, any actor. With any kind of like, hey, look at me. I mean, granted, when your skills are called upon,
yes.
you know, you do your stuff.
Right.
But if your internal dialogue is, wow, this is all about me and my flair as a performer or anything like that, I think you kill the piece.
And not even so much about it being all about you. But I'm thinking it more of a sense of having the control to be able to time it the way you want to time it, to have those moments where you have that conversation with Kathleen that you mentioned, and understand it of okay, I'm the one setting the pace here.
You know, you're making me think of this in a way that I haven't for a couple of weeks, which is, and you're right, it is. I mean, sometimes when you're on stage with, you know, exquisite other actors, you love feeding off of their energy,
right.
and that creates a kind of like
sure.
Dynamism that's always can be fresh. But in this case, on the one hand, it's totally daunting that it's up to me, at least in terms of delivering the text entirely. But then on the other hand, once we have built a certain kind of rapport and a trust in the material and a trust in the relationship with each other, and then on an audience with an audience on a given night,
sure.
Then yeah, it's really cool to breathe with the room and kind of find out together where things are going to go next. And as you say, be in some kind of a control of that while at the same time surrendering to, whatever the energy, also like you said before, is calling for.
Well, if you'd like to be in the room where all that breathing is happening, it happens at the Rep through April 2nd. It's a production of An Iliad. It is, you can find out more by going to capitalrep.org. Mm-hmm. You can also go to our website, which is wamc.org/roundtable, where we have the link to Capital Rep, which is attached to this interview. And we want to thank David Barlow, Kathleen Bowman, and Margaret Hall for joining us this morning. I wish you all the best and all best wishes in putting this together. And I thank you so much for so beautifully explaining what you've been doing artistically.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. I guess we're out of time. Should I just thank people? You want me to thank people or you want me to shut up? We'll shut up. All right. We'll see you next week. Bye.